Popular culture, from television and film to marketing and advertising, was an essential tool for this process. Movie studios in particular were eager to work with the regime and vice versa. Goebbels put a great deal of stock in the medium, believing that film is one of the most modern and far-reaching means of influencing the masses. But he assured the film industry that the government would not be taking over. Rather, this would be a public-private partnership. "We have no intention of obstructing production," he told studio heads in his first address to the industry. "Neither do we wish to hamper private enterprise. On the contrary, this will receive a great deal of impetus through the national movement." The film industry worked with the government formally and informally, releasing mostly escapist fare for German audiences, as well as a steady stream of allegorically worshipful films about Hitler. Movie audiences were subtly encouraged to change their thinking not merely about, say, Jews and foreign policy, but about what it meant to be a human being in the modern world. Despite the Nazis' complete control of society, many still felt that big business was getting away with murder. Himmler was particularly vexed by the slow pace of his efforts to transform the way Germans ate. "The artificial is everywhere. Everywhere food is adulterated, filled with ingredients that supposedly make it last longer, or look better, or pass as enriched, or whatever else the industry's ad men want us to believe. We are in the hands of the food companies, whose economic clout and advertising make it possible for them to prescribe what we can and cannot eat. After the war, we shall take energetic steps to prevent the ruin of our people by the food industries." Here we can see the inexorable undertow of third-way totalitarianism. Every problem in life must logically be the result of insufficient cooperation by institutions or individuals. If only we could turn the ratchet one more notch, then click. Everything would fall into place and all contradictions would be eliminated. Obviously, the Jews bore the brunt of the Gleichschaltung. They were the other against whom the Nazis defined their organic society. Given Jewish economic success, the business community of necessity played a central role in the Aryanization of society, a convenient excuse for businesses to seize Jewish holdings and for German professionals to take Jewish jobs in academia, the arts, and science. A great many Germans simply refused to make good on their debts to Jewish creditors. Banks foreclosed on mortgages. Vultures seized Jewish businesses or offered to pay pennies on the dollar for them, knowing full well that Jews had no recourse. Or they informed on their competitors, charging that firm X was insufficiently committed to purging the stain of Judaism from its business. Nothing so horrific happened in the United States, and it's unlikely that it would have, even if Hugh Johnson's darkest fantasies had been realized. But the practices of the Nazis and Johnson's NRA were more similar than different.